Here's an interesting fact for you. There are nearly 1 million new books published in the U.S. alone every year. So if you like to read, how do you choose what you're going to read? Well, that's where Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews comes in. You see, Kirkus has been one of the top book review publications for over 80 years. They do a deep dive on thousands of titles every year, including interviewing best-selling authors and telling you what might be the hot new release before everyone else knows. And it's coming to Podcast One in just a few weeks. So keep your eyes and ears open for Fully Booked by Kirkus Reviews.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah. Hey, there we are. Get it on, man. Got to get on the show. Get it on, man. Get it on now. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, just read something kind of interesting.
What's that?
Jordan Harbinger from the Art of Charm podcast. You've heard him on my podcast a few times as well. Also, the podcast, the Forbes list. It's going to be in here in a couple of few. I just looked down. It says obsessed with North Korea. He's traveled there many times.
I think I saw some stuff he put online with that. But I also like the fact that he is interested in emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you heard the, what if he's heard the Ray story? We can ask him about that.
Yeah. I really don't mind the part where people don't have it or get it, or for whatever reasons, they come from this environment, they have that environment,
or maybe genetics.
Or genetics. I don't mind any of that stuff. What I mind is defiance and opposition when the path is being clearly pointed out. And I don't know about you, Drew, but I just sort of go through life and I look at people and I sort of size them and adjust to them and think to myself, well, is this somebody I need to seek advice or counsel from? Is this somebody I respect in this department? And then you break it off into different departments where you go, I'm not going to listen to this person about that,
yeah,
but about this subject,
yeah,
I'll be listening.
Sure.
And all I do is sort of go through life and go, I respect this person's opinion. I don't respect that person's opinion. So I'm going to pick and choose. And then you find this little network and you sort of go, I want to get their input on this, or I'm going to get input on that. And then bigger and more importantly, when I was making, 17 grand a year teaching boxing and swinging a hammer, I would find guys who were in positions much greater than mine. I had one guy who was a Air Force pilot, flew A-10s, and I was a pilot for Delta. And his call sign was Paisan. His name was Gary. I can't think of his last name. It'll come to me. But anyway, I'll think of it. And then there was Shelby Coffey, the guy who ran the Los Angeles Times. And these guys were my boxing students. And I remember thinking when I was 28, 29, well, I should learn something from these guys. So I would start sort of going out to lunch with them and kind of picking their brain a little bit, seeing what they had to think or what their thought was. The main thing that I learned is, we weren't so different. There wasn't this big chasm.
You thought there'd be a big chasm.
Well, I grew up with colossal losers who basically went like, well, when you're this guy, you're the, you know, you act this way and you do this and this, you're everything you got was given to you,
boy.
And, you know, that, of course, well, it was such a shaming process, I think, for my mom and my dad, but mostly my mom, to kind of own their failures, that they attributed to everyone else's success with some sort of lucky something or parental something or knowing the right people, so to speak. You don't get to fly A-10 Warthogs because you know the right people.
Yeah.
They don't put you in multi-cajillion-dollar fighter jets with Gatling guns and spent uranium because your dad knows a guy from the Air Force. I love this notion. You don't become a Delta commercial pilot either because you know somebody that works over Delta, you know. Their sort of concept in life was you just had to know somebody. You know, these guys lucked their way, talked their way, or screwed some Indian out of whatever that, you know. Like my mom's thought would be the Wahachi tribe ran the Los Angeles Times until Shelby Coffey came in there with his blankets filled with dysentery, and then he was able to take over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
that smallpox blanket. Like that was kind of their general thought about things.
Well, it's interesting that there's a kernel of truth, right? To who you know and stuff is sort of important.
Well,
but you can go out and build that network yourself. And if you have a pre-existing one.
Yeah, it is who you know. It's who you know. That's why I got to know Gary.
Right.
And that's why I got to know Shelby, because it helped me.
I understand that. And there's two ways to look at that. One is, I wish I had more connections for my family. The other is, hey, go make the connections. That's important. I'll go do it.
That's what I did, yeah. And you know, I had my Zuzu Trooper in the parking lot, and Shelby drove a Corvette, and I didn't sit down at lunch and tell him, you know, here's how life works. I would listen to what he said and then try to incorporate that in my life. I never had the you're not the boss of me mentality, which everyone seems to have now, although not good when there's the massive chasm of achievement. Forget about money, just achievement. The massive chasm of achievement between the two people starting off in relatively the same place. Now, it's easy for me because I started off lower than everybody. So I'm able to say with a straight face, hey, listen to me, I've been there. You know, I know what it's like to, you know, I started down. There's nobody in this modern era in this country that you can sort of put in front of me and go, well, yeah, but you had it this way growing up. I grew up this way. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not going to work because of how I grew up. I was on whatever the bottom floor is, that's where I was. Look, you get ritualistically sexually abused. Like, I, not that. But other than that, you don't start off any lower, and you don't do any more shit work than me. And now I'm able to have some success. So one should listen. But one doesn't, and I'll tell you the problem is
one doesn't. Ray Oldhoffer? Or
almost most people.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what the problem is. The zeitgeist.
Of right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think of the politics.
Yeah, you're an asshole. Is the zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist is, think of what the drum that the politicians have been beating for the last 10 years. You know what I mean? You know, first off, you have Obama explaining, you got a successful business? You didn't do that yourself. Somebody built the roads. Somebody invented the internal combustion engine that powered your vehicle. You could have had to go there by mule, be dragged by mule. Somebody.
But the crazy thing, if like, you're a small
business, you didn't build that yourself.
So it's true that we rise on the shoulders
of. How about this?
But by the way,
just give 40% of everything to the government? We call it square. Because that's what we're doing.
And,
so,
and by the way, if it had been a mule, you would have figured it out with a mule. You know what I mean?
I agree. There were things. I don't know what Obama's thing would be before paved roads.
Well, you went to school. You had a teacher.
Yeah, I did. That's how it works. But that doesn't mean everyone who I went to school and had a teacher is a successful business owner. Many fucking flunkies work for the government. But I don't even know why we're having those discussions. It's insane. But, discussions we had. So this sort of thing of undermining those who went out and figured it out, not a great plan, in my opinion. And certainly, now, for the one who has the business, it's an annoyance. For everyone else, it's crippling. I see, I don't like when the president would say that shit, but I didn't care because I already had my stuff. And there's no way I was going to do some hand-wringing. There's no way that I was, if it hadn't been for Mrs. Wolk in the eighth grade, I wouldn't be here right now. Like, fuck that. I had horrible teachers. I liked Mr. Backus in the fifth grade, and for every one Mr. Backus, I could name 17 horrible teachers I had who essentially warehoused me. So I should be doing what now? Going to the graveside of Mr. Backus and shedding a tear or spilling some mangria? Like, what is the plan? Yes, I had good teachers, and yes, I had mostly bad teachers. And I took some paved roads to go clean carpets. So what are we looking at? But I'm fine. The people you're screwing up are the people that are down there who would like to start their own business, and now you're poisoning them. That's where I'm at. Drew's nodding his head. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So my feeling is, let's flip the script a little bit here. I'd like to live in a world where you go, that guy over there with the big business or successful business, listen to him. Your narrative is he didn't do it himself. My narrative is, yes, he did. Now let's listen to him. Or maybe his dad did it and then gave it to him. I don't care. He's still the guy with the business. Let's go suck up to him and let's pick his brain. I bet he's got something to say and we should listen. That's me. Not sure why other people wouldn't want to adopt that, because I feel like if you're down there and you don't own that business and you'd like to go in the business, see if you can trick that guy to go out to lunch with you. And I, Drew, are we getting paid equal amounts on this show? my thing, Drew?
Yes.
I think Drew is this. I have never met a successful person in business or beyond that did not love to sit down and share their story with somebody who wanted to know.
By the way, you've just given me hours of lecturing about listening. I'm practicing what
Thank
you've been
you.
Preaching.
Yeah. I didn't say going to full sleep mode.
Coma.
Going to coma. No, but who doesn't like sharing their – what successful person you ever met that didn't enjoy sharing their story?
Well, now they're sharing the story. They want to bring up people. That's how they give back.
Right.
By really bringing up people that are coming up.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll tell you what. Let me mow through these calls, and we'll bring Jordan Harbinger in. All right.
Let's do it.
Wife and kids, more of the Spike shows. Yes, go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. How you doing?
Good. Huge fan. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thank you.
Adam, I was just looking over your website, just drooling over the different Mangria you had. But Drew will appreciate this. I'm 4 months sober.
There we go.
So.
Good time.
I won't be able to partake, unfortunately. If I'd caught you 6 months earlier, man, I'd be your biggest buyer.
Jeez.
Thank you, Andrew, I think.
but anyways, I loved your TLC show back in the day, and I thought it was one of my favorite scenes was when Lynette was cooking you lamb chops as you were taking a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her kind of just, you know, whispering to the camera, you know, this is Adam's nap time. You know, I'm cooking his favorite meal, and it was awesome. You know, she was trying to get pregnant at the time.
I remember those lamb chops. Yeah, she used to do good lamb chops.
Is she talking about the man? Yeah. Is she talking about the man show? What's he talking about?
TLC.
Adam Carolla Project, the one where he rebuilt
Home
his dad's
house. Oh, yeah, that one. Okay.
Yeah, and it was also awesome when Lynette took all your guys to the spa for the day. That was hilarious.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyways, yeah, I was just wondering if you were going to incorporate Lynette and the kids into your Spike show. I saw your first episode, and it was awesome.
You saw the kids,
Andrew.
You saw the kids.
Yeah, I saw the kids.
No, but I'm not going to do it. No, as a matter of fact, Lynette's in one of the episodes, coming field shoot. I think, I don't know, maybe I'm going to call this sort of healthy. Somebody said, hey, once you get your loft bed up there, you should have your twins, like, you know, test it out or whatever. And I thought, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And so I don't have a push to incorporate, and I don't have a fight against incorporation. My feeling is just like, if you want to do it or it sounds makes sense, then we'll do it. So it'll be just on a case-by-case basis, I think is what they call it.
Nice.
The thing about the kids and Lynette is nobody has any designs. Oh, Phil's trying to get in.
He's had the door completely open.
He's coming with the paw.
Let me get him?
Yeah, let Phil in. They don't have designs on it, good or bad, but if they want to do it, they'll do it, and we'll figure it out. All right, one more. Phil's trying to get in. Andrew, 27. Oh, yeah. Andrew? All right, hold on a second. Let's talk to... Uh-oh, Phil's going to start pushing on me. Jessica, 38. Jessica?
Hey, Adam. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey there.
Here's where he's going to start pushing.
I actually...
This dog is, like, attacking you. Hold on a second, Jessica.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, ask. You guys go roll on the...
Okay.
They rolled me out of the
Yeah.
Bag.
Go ahead.
Don't eat me.
I originally had a question for Dr. Drew, medical question.
Go ahead.
After listening to Adam, can you hear me?
I hear you. Keep going. Just to pay no attention to them. Go ahead.
Okay. No. After listening to Adam talk about, you know, people who don't try to make their dreams come true and just kind of sit around and wait for things to happen or have excuses and all that.
Yeah.
I actually had something else to share.
Go ahead.
So I actually recently, I've always had this dream. I'm a graphic designer. And
we hear you. It's all right. Man, Adam's got headphones
okay.
on.
All right.
He's being
I'm a graphic designer,
alive.
And I design.
Oh, he's lying. Oh, he's not going for this.
Uh-oh.
Let him go see it through the window, Nick. I like when he does the up-on-the-window move. That's my favorite.
Go ahead, Jessica. Move. We're listening carefully.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, and I design websites. So I decided recently, you know, I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to take a leap. I've always wanted to design for comedians. So I went ahead and I quit my job and started reaching out to different comedians and people. And I started this in October, and I'm working with I have 12 different comedian clients.
Nice.
As of now.
Have you heard of any of them?
It's going awesome.
Good.
Christopher Titus.
I believe he's on your show quite a bit. Yeah.
Okay. I just did his website. It just launched actually on last week.
Nice.
So, yeah, go check it out, ChristopherTitus.com. Elon Gold, Lachlan Patterson, Joe Prano. Let's see.
All right, we got it.
Kurt Brownler. Can I plug myself? WadeinOregon.com is my site. But anyway, I'm really excited because you were talking about that. And WadeinOregon.com, that's my website I designed for comedians or entertainers.
Right, that's smart. I like that. Did she ask her question? Yeah.
No.
All right.
She wanted to make a comment.
I didn't ask my question because I started.
All right. But listen.
Have her hold for next. Oh, no. Okay, go ahead.
Listen, if you want to ask a question, ask a question. You want to plug your company, plug your company. But that's up to you. All right. Why don't we bring Jordan in?
Okay.
Hey, Andrew?
Hello.
Oh, okay. Your line has been fixed.
Yes.
You got a friend. He's 26. He's living at home with both parents. Has worked total 2 weeks in his life. What can you do to motivate him? Nothing.
Yeah. Is there anything in the way of his motivation? Is he drinking a lot or smoking a lot of pot or anything? Or is he depressed or anything, you know?
I think he's depressed. Last year, me and him used to drink a lot, and then he got to a point where he said he was drinking like a fifth a night.
Okay, so he...
But apparently he hasn't...
Well,
go ahead.
Alcoholics that try to white-knuckle it get very depressed sometimes, so he might have a bigger issue here.
Right. I've never been able to motivate anybody, so I'd just move on. I'd just move on. I would.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he may be
Do you
ill.
Think I should tell him? Do you just be like, I can't? Well, because it is getting to that point with me where I just don't respect him.
Yes. Yeah. But I would say that I wouldn't talk about respect, and I wouldn't talk about necessarily his – it's just too painful to see him languish, is what I would say. And whatever is causing that, he needs to take care of. So I wouldn't say, hey, man, you're lazy or you need motivation because you really don't know what's going on. But tell him it's too painful to watch. That's all.
Yes.
Before you introduce Jordan.
Yeah.
True Car.
Oh, True Car.
Yeah. They can help you buy used cars as well as new cars. 700,000 pre-owned vehicles sold by the 13,000 True Car certified dealers. So whether you're looking to buy new or used, you go to True Car. You see what others paid for the car you want. Then you can lock in a fair price, learn all about that car, and then you connect with that locked-in price at a local certified dealer. There are over 13,000 of them. And you'll arrive with confidence because you know it's not just a price. It's actually a price for a specific piece of their inventory, a specific vehicle on the lot. You know it's there, so you can enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. In addition to getting the upfront pricing, you'll also be given discounts off the list price. You can't get anywhere else. Overall, a better buying experience. Again, new or used, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles have been sold by the over 13,000 True Car certified dealers. When you're ready to buy new or used, visit True Car. Some features are not available in all states.
Phil's smacking his head against stuff. Phil, go see Nick over there, would you? I like when he does that. Jordan Harbinger, everybody. Art of Charm is the podcast. Also, the Forbes list as well. And you can hear it on Podcast One, Podcast App, and iTunes. And remember, leave a nice five-star review.
Jordan's going to visit my podcast, too.
Okay.
He'll be on the True Podcast.
Phil, what do you want from me?
He wants the mangria.
He wants the mangria. Go say hi to Nick. Would you over there? Nick, go bang
like,
on the glass.
That. Yeah. Go across the room and jump up and look at the guys operating the machinery.
Say hi to Nick. All right.
Last time we made eye contact in a staring contest for like 30 seconds and then he came.
Oh, is that what happened?
He won't lock eyes.
Bill, go over there and lock eyes.
I wouldn't lock eyes with a dog that's as big as you. It's just, even if you think it's really friendly, it's not really a good idea.
Yeah. Still got canines. So, now he's bored.
I think overall it's a big problem.
Drew, go drag him over to Nick and make him lock eyes. Jordan, Drew has a way. He's like Caesar Milan.
Nice.
So, Jordan, Art of Charm, the Forbes list. What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about the Forbes list.
Yeah, the Forbes list is an interesting one. I started off interviewing, basically I interview Forbes editors talking about those lists they keep, mm-hmm. which originally when they hired me for this, I thought, okay, this could go either way because big companies have a way of ruining things that can be entertaining.
Right.
And they didn't do that. Not, at least not yet. They did a pretty good job with it. And the billionaires episode was the first one, the top billionaires on Forbes, basically the list they're most famous for. And I got to ask all kinds of questions that you're thinking when you read the list, like, how much of these guys just inherited a crap load of money and how many of them actually made it themselves? And you get kind of the dig because they research the crap out of these people and they do almost like private investigator work trying to figure out how these people have money, how much do they have, where do they keep it, what are they invested in? So they know a lot more than they write in the little blurb about each person online or in the magazine.
You know what strikes me as I think about this now and as has become the sort of theme of today's show and even this week's show?
A lot of people, these shows, yeah.
People, well, like, you know, aforementioned Buddy Ray, his number one goal is to talk me into letting him on a TV show, not to excel.
Right,
at the TV show, it's to talk me. This is all the losers. Well, see, you're speaking like someone who makes sense.
Yeah.
Everyone I grew up with, their plan in life was to talk people out of stuff, like to get them
into stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm going to get you to do something you don't want to do. That's going to help me.
Yeah.
It starts off very basically, which is like it's nutrition at the public school. Yeah, Gary, take Philly's driving nuts now, and it's. We're at the public school, and you're sitting down, and you have a piece of coffee cake, and I'm going to try to talk you into giving half of that to me. Like, could you break off a piece and give it to me? That's how it starts. Like, you just start. It's an interesting indoctrination. It starts off very sort of tangibly and viscerally with food. I spent the fifth grade, the sixth grade, the junior high with Ray, with Chris. Sitting with the Jewish kids going, are you going to finish that peanut butter and jelly? You just ate the half. Are you going to eat that? I'm saving it for later. Later? You'll be home later. Just give me a bite. Let me have a bite. So you're getting this like, I got to get you to do something. It's horrible. It's horrible, but that's your modality is how can I get this person to do something? And it just carries through life. There is no, I'm going to figure out a way to make a better peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's, I got to get you to give me this. That's the only way I'm going to get by.
What's the sort of overall take on these people you've looked at?
Yeah, that to me sounds like it started off as a little bit of salesmanship just to see if you could feel your oats and get people to do it. But it sounds like short-term thinking, right? If someone's trying to talk you into a TV show, that's maybe one appearance or maybe one little thing where they get a chance.
That's right.
It seems like long-term thinking would be like, hey, Adam, you've made it, man. Can you tell me what I need to do to be valuable enough to come on the show with you every single week? Because that would be awesome.
That's a conversation that takes place on a pirate ship in fairyland with me. No one has ever said, Adam, you're successful. Please share your information with me. Now it's like, fuck you. You're not the boss of me. Yeah. But that's how every conversation I have. I always expected that. I would have that conversation. It has never happened.
So
now, ironically, the only but other successful people
is there a theme that emerged in the list?
Oh, on the list. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I totally didn't hear that part of the question. The list so far, essentially, the list has been so varied. I mean, it's either like hip-hop up-and-comers or like best places to retire without a car, billionaires. The theme that's emerged from the list is that people who work at Forbes spend a hell of a lot of time doing a lot of research building these lists.
Yeah.
And at first it was a little bit like I wouldn't say intimidating, but it was almost like why bother researching these people that much outside of the billionaires, which you have to do because that's such a contentious sort of authoritative list. But when it comes to sort of the hip-hop up-and-comers or like the cash kings of hip-hop or something like that, it's really interesting to see some 25, 26-year-old Jewish kid from Brooklyn put his entire life's efforts into figuring out who's going to be next on the Cash Kings hip-hop list. It reminds me a little bit of high school, but I'll tell you, they do a great job of curating and creating these lists, and they do a really good job with the research.
You said in The Billionaire, some inherited money, some earned it, or some did both. Yeah. What, is there a theme that emerged from that group? Because Adam's been talking about this whole week, and I'm wondering if...
I have another thought.
Let's see what the facts reveal.
The vast majority of the top 10 that we actually got to, because I asked way too many questions, which is actually my job, so I don't apologize, were people that were self-made in some way. But if we could rewind, and I think about this all the time, if we could rewind to their childhood, I would imagine they were set up to win at some level, most of these guys. But I don't mean they inherited the majority of their stuff. I mean their parents probably said, oh, we're not going to pay for anything. You're going to work hard for it. Because you can't own a freaking telecom company in Mexico if you're not willing to put in the hours. I don't care how talented you are, how smart you are, or even if you inherited a freaking phone company to begin with, you just can't pivot like that without work.
It's an interesting point. It's sort of a correlate to what you've been saying, which is that there's just super hard work. And that's another thing I'm not sure Ray's all about avoiding that, right?
Well, no. Well,
Hard work.
Well, no. And I'll tell you why. Because these people, first off, they end up working very hard because they make the same mistakes 1,000 times. Whereas right. I opened the fridge a few years back, and Dr. Drew's keys are in the refrigerator. And I go, why the hell Drew's keys? For first impulse, like, he forgot his keys in his in the refrigerator? What's he thinking? And then I realize, oh, no, it's sitting on top of a bag, and inside that bag is a vaccine that needs to be refrigerated. And then you go, oh, what's he got his key? And stupid people always go, yeah, but you still didn't answer why the keys are in there. Well, that's so Drew can't leave, and he can't forget his refrigerated vaccinations. Right. And Drew knows himself, and Drew probably at some point in the past may have forgotten.
Oh, I know for sure.
You arrived at some point.
I work in a business where it's zero error.
Right.
You cannot be an error.
An earlier.
Yeah, no errors. And believe me, there's usually a double check on that somewhere.
Many years ago, Drew showed up somewhere and somebody said, where's the flu vaccination? And he went, oh, damn. Oh, I put it in the fridge. And because I don't go to the fridge, I walk right out of the building and go to the whatever. I don't think, what's in the fridge?
Well, to be fair, in medical training, you get your ass handed to
right.
you.
Right.
I hope so.
So yeah. what Drew did is Drew ceased doing that. These people who we claim don't work hard have to drive back and go get the stuff all the time because they never stop making the same mistakes. In terms of hard work, Ray's up on a roof all day scraping asphalt. I'm sitting in air conditioning. Now I work weekends and holidays, but hard? Oh, no. They work hard. They just keep making they don't work smart. They keep making the same mistakes. But the thing that jumped to my head, Jordan, and thing it ties back into the Forbes list and all of this, which is these people that we speak about, they're so concrete that they don't understand that the information is more valuable than the currency or the product. It's the information that they need. So their whole modality is, let me talk you out of some of your shit. And you go, hold on. Let me share with you the secret to getting an infinite amount of shit. And they go, hey, not interested in that.
Yeah.
I want some of that. And you go, yeah, yeah. But what about tomorrow and the next day? Not interested in that either. I want that shit and I want it now. And you go, let me share the information that will make this abundant for you. And they go, that's it. Not interested in the talk. Want the shit. I'd much, if they got
the delayed gratification piece.
Oh, yeah. If they got together with any of these luminaries from the Fortune 500 companies, they'd be much happier to take whatever was in their wallet versus a sit down, here's everything I've learned about business in the last 71 years.
Do you think any of that has to do with the mindset that might be running in the sort of a background process that says, look, you can talk to me about that all you want, but I'm never going to be able to apply that and use it. So just give me the immediate thing because I can't do the hard part. That's going to get me the big win.
I wish it was that. I really do. I wish they thought about it. I wish it was
it's just not that complex.
I wish it was a process involved. It's not. It's like, you got money, I want it. Or you got food, I need it. Like, I mean, it's like,
It's a very emotional.
Yeah, you're eating a steak, and the dog smells it and comes walking over. There's no process going on. It's right up there with, hey, that steak, I'm hungry, what's going on? Here I come. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's the only reason I have my finger on the pulse of this is because I lived amongst them.
You still do?
Yes, I'm like the Jane Goodall of losers.
Oh, God.
I fucking moved into... Would you like to process my genius for a moment?
I really need a Photoshop of that.
The Jane Goodall of losers. Like, I lived amongst them. They accepted me as their own, you know. I lived with them, and I understood exactly how everything worked, and I wish there was some process, because when you come from Drew doesn't come from vast wealth, but it comes from a system and a thought process, and here's what you do. And when you break down these guys, you break it down through your analytical mind, which is, well, certainly they had some thoughts about, oh, no, they did not. You know what I mean? Well, but of course, you're seeing it through your prism.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words, the thing is no process. That's part of it.
Part of the problem.
Right. And you're explaining... You don't have a process. Let me share a process with you. And they're like, give me your money. That's my process.
So they're operating maybe on a survival basis.
Yeah,
this is triune brain, lizard brain level, like me want steak, me want TV show.
Oh, the first thing they do and the first thing everybody does, and I was smack dab in the middle of it, which is you're in survival mode at all times, never in thrive or get ahead or let's look down the road a couple years and see where we might be. You're in survival mode all the time. And so it's like food becomes like the manifestation of survival mode.
What keeps people in survival mode even when they shouldn't be doing that?
When it hasn't worked.
When you grow up that way, I get it, right? If you're a kid and you have nothing and you've got to figure out how you're going to eat because your parents are absentee, I get that. But when you're roofing and you're making a living, hopefully a living wage, you don't have to do that anymore. Is it just habit or is there a switch in the brain that's just so hard to turn off that they can't get out of that?
Self-regulation is a very complicated process, and it requires a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of self-awareness. I mean, you've got to spend the time building the capacity to regulate your emotions, which is sort of a therapeutic process, and then the ability to repeatedly delay gratification. And that's something that – there's sort of a window for that, and it's kind of early.
Right. Yeah. It seems –
No, the entire thing – I'm going to tie up this whole week.
It really has been the whole week. It's true.
I'm going to tie it up.
Is that because of the TV show you had esteem about this?
I blame you.
All right. It could be me.
Why not?
We started earlier in the week, and we were talking about the transformation from becoming a man to a woman.
Yes, we did. That's true. That's how we started. That's right.
Right. And you said, if you're going to start this journey, start before puberty.
We talked about that.
Start getting
on. I said there's a
window in there.
I mean, that makes sense.
You want to get on some hormones and stuff before the stuff starts kicking in.
I said that if you can select the kids that really are that early.
No one's going to write you shitty emails.
I'm just saying, but that's... I
get it.
Yeah.
You said take the stuff before you start, you know, the forearm starts sprouting veins and stuff, and the Adam's apple kicks in because it's going to be much more effective if you do it before. If you wait till after... there's varied results, but it's a little bit of a battle.
I think I could still do it. I don't have any veins, and I don't really have much of an Adam's apple.
I got arms of a chick, too.
I got the options.
I think both of us are wide open.
I've got a little estrogen in the car. Fine.
So now, Drew.
Under your keys. It was under his keys in the fridge.
There's suppositories, though, Adam. Sorry.
Done and done. Just make sure it doesn't fall off your dick before you put it in.
It's for your vagina.
Yeah. That's why they call him Ace. Now, listen to me. I'm bringing this around.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm anxious to see where this goes.
It's like a tanker ship. It's coming around.
It's coming around. It's a big container ship. Now, you said you got to get on these hormones before it kicks in.
Yeah.
Delayed gratification.
Yep.
You better get on that before puberty kicks in.
Yep.
Ray and all my other buddies from high school never got on that train.
Yep.
Now, you're starting with the hormone therapy in your 40s. It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
And, by the way, you think you look hot in a sundress.
Yeah.
And this is the bigger problem, which is I'm saying, okay, now it's time to really double down on the therapy and whatever it is we need to do. And they're saying, are you kidding me? I look incredible. And they look like John Goodman in a sundress, but there's no need to change. So, yes, delayed gratification. is the number one. That's the number one quality you're looking for. It starts early and often,
yeah.
And these guys didn't taste it until way later in life. And that's the problem. And that's the problem with many people. And also, yes, Jordan's right. It's like taking that survival mode and just bringing it straight into adulthood. It's that crazy thing where you hear about, like, Aaron Hernandez, a guy's getting a multi-million-dollar contract for the Patriots, and he's out gangbanging. And it's like, hey, some guy was eyeballing me in the parking lot. And it's like, hey, dude, you're not in the gang.
Right.
You're making millions of dollars.
I'm just thinking, if people are interested in this topic on a deeper level, Jordan and I, on my podcast, are going to get into emotional intelligence in great detail.
Great.
So we'll spend like an hour on this. So
super.
I'll give you a chance to sort of tell the whole story.
Yeah.
The Art of Charm is the pod, and it's a 10th year, and also the Forbes list as well, much newer, but certainly worth a listen. You can hear it at podcast1 and .com. And the app as well, the Podcast One app and iTunes. Leave a nice 5-star review. And if you want to shoot a tweet over to Jordan, at The Art of Charm. And the website, theartofcharm.com. Jordan, thank you. And for the extended dance version of this, you just go over to Drew's pod.
Yep,
and listen to
podcast. You can see it at Corolla Network. See it at doctor.com. Look for it on iTunes, and Jordan and I will be having at it there. And great. Also me and Spaz and me and Bob Forrest and the podcast family that are available at doctor.com.
Thanks, guys. My neighbor always enjoys hearing me on your show every single time.
All right. Also, just go to adamcarolla.com. You need anything. We got me and Dennis Prager. There's some valuable information there. And you can check out the Spike Show and how to be in the audience and the 24-hour war, the movie, blah, 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 blah. Yes, Richard.
And Gary's admonishing me. We're not sure we're going to put Jordan's up. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not admonishing you. I just, if someone goes over there and doesn't see it, just keep checking. It'll be there.
It'll be there soon. Yeah. Okay.
Right. So until next time, Adam Carolla for Jordan Harbinger and Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Imagine a world where animals and humans coexist in harmony, where wild animals thrive, habitats are protected, and marginalized communities are empowered. At International Animal Rescue, this is our vision. Our holistic, community-led projects not only rescue animals, but also protect and replenish precious habitats, creating a better future for us all. But we can't do this without you. Show your support now and help keep the wild, wild. Visit internationalanimalrescue.org.